Hugs to me, Hugs, saints of God, and thank you for joining us on the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my wonderful partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Hagsameach as well, because even though we have passed Feast of First Fruits, or rather the day of his resurrection, we are still in the week-long Feast of Unleavened Bread. So, I think we should open with that scriptures in Leviticus 23, and then we'll continue with our opening prayer. What do you think?
Sounds good. Verse 5, on the 14th day of the first month.
That's Nisan.
At twilight.
That's 3 o'clock.
Is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation.
Which is a holy day as in an extra Sabbath.
You shall do no customary work on it, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. Holy Father, during this continued week of your designated memorials, we are reminded of the joy that comes after the affliction has passed. You have rose from the dead to bring us life forever and more abundantly. We pray for your bride's supernatural protection during these days of uncertainty as we wonder what the rest of this year will hold. Lord, will we ever go back to how America was? Or are we experiencing these times as merciful warnings of the big event coming so often referred to in your holy writings? Is this your last-minute plea to the unsaved? We'll soon know as we trust in the Holy One. We can trust in. That is you, Lord. O Lord Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Well, since we began with the Word, let's reflect on those three verses to start tonight's program, because these are special days on God's calendar, well, until Thursday for sure, which is the eighth day from Passover.
And this particular eighth day contains a deeper matter.
Yes, as God said in Proverbs 25:2,
it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter.
Well, since we are called kings and priests in Revelation 1, we therefore need to search out a matter hidden within Scripture.
Okay, what did you find?
Well, this extra holy day, or high day, observed like a Sabbath, makes the season of Passover an eight-day feast. And a couple of decades ago, I learned that it was John the Baptist's circumcision. Now, that really is a huge event in Jewish culture. Actually, it still is in some sects of Judaism, which is why I believe God made it a Shabbaton way back in Leviticus 23, in anticipation of John the Baptist's birth on Passover, and then his circumcision 8 days later, Nisan 22.
Which is this Thursday.
It is.
We just have to connect the dots.
Right. As we know, he was conceived during the week of Pentecost, according to Luke 1. So, 9 months later equals Passover. And we know that he was 6 months older than Jesus, which we therefore conclude Jesus was born on Tabernacles, the season of joy.
Which makes perfect sense, as you have explained often.
I have. And you can find these gold nuggets and many others on our webpage.
And it's free.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have to admit, this last week was unusual to see all the deaths during Passover week, when, while in Egypt, the Hebrews saw many deaths of those who had not placed the blood of the lamb on their wooden door frames. Even the other plagues that Egypt had to endure, well, we've also seen recently on a smaller scale, of course. But, however, it will be on a bigger scale during the tribulation, which, of course, is explained in the book of Revelation.
After he removes his bride.
Yes.
Besides death, what were some of the other plagues in Egypt?
Well, contaminated water, lice, flies, locusts, which, by the way, have been occurring again down in the southern hemisphere. And did you see the report last week of baseball-sized hail in Texas?
Everything is bigger in Texas, you know.
Cute. But it reminded me of Revelation 16:21, as the 100-pound hailstones will fall from the heavens as the seventh and last bowl of judgment. So we should ask ourselves, this current pestilence, the increased earthquakes and many tornadoes, or what the Bible calls strange weather patterns, are signs for us to look up.
And listen for that trumpet sound.
Oh, and don't forget that beautiful pinkish, some calling it even a blood supermoon, which showed itself early Sunday, resurrection morning.
Yeah, Joel 2 speaks of this in the end days.
He does. And our atmospheric researchers are telling us to expect some attention grabbers from the sky this year, along with some increasing meteorites.
So, all this could be a prelude to the tribulation.
Well, we soon shall see. But in the meantime...
Witness. Okay, you can send your end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Please consider a love offering and we'll be sure to add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
And we were scheduled to be at Chester Christian Center on May 1st, but of course that has been canceled for hopefully just a short while. But you can hear us every week on this channel, so be sure to tell a friend.
So, has Israel formed a government yet?
No. But at least they are letting some people go back to work, I understand, on a limited basis. And I hope that we will soon do that as well.
Well, talk is in the air.
But then probably in a few months, evil will unleash more pestilence since they already told us it will return. And as we've said before, if this is the year of the last trumpet, then for sure it will happen, as Revelation 6 in the seal number 4 lays it all out. For all anybody, you know, anybody at all can read it if they just choose to.
Okay, we had a question come in that I know you'd like to answer.
Okay.
Could you go over once again the importance of the fig tree blossoming?
Yes, that is a great topic because Israel is our time clock. Much of our assuredness that we are in the very last days, well, we owe to the fig tree prophecy. Remember when Jesus cursed it in Matthew 21?
The fig tree is a symbol for the Jewish people.
According to Isaiah 5. Anyhow, three chapters later in Matthew 24, Jesus also said that when you see the fig tree become tender with leaves again, that will be the generation to witness those signs of his return that he had just outlined also in Matthew 24 and happening together.
Well, the fig tree sprouted again in 1948 when Israel became a legal nation.
That's what most say, and I agree. And according to Psalm 90, verse 10, a generation in this context, because we see in verse 9, Moses, who wrote Psalm 90, talks about finishing our years. So we know that verse 10 means the average age of someone living in the last days, as he speaks of his wrath and his return in verse 13. So anyway, it's important to know that in context. But we go back to verse 10, which says a generation is between 70 and 80 years.
And we see today that's often the case.
I know. Okay, so again, looking deeper into a matter.
Proverbs 25:2.
That's right, because Jesus related Israel to a generation. That says to me that Israel only has 70 to 80 years as a legal nation before all these things take place.
And here comes the exciting part.
Right. Israel is 72 this year. Adding the 7 years for the tribulation, well, to me, that means this year we easily could fly away to escape the coming wrath.
As also referred to in Psalms 90, verses 10 and 11.
That's right. And here's another gold nugget. By looking back at Israel's history, Israel has ruled sovereignly only twice before as a united people. The first time it lasted exactly 80 years, first under King David for 40 years, and then King Solomon for 40.
Then the tribes are separated.
Right. The second time they were sovereign was for 74 years after the Maccabean Revolt during the Hasmonean Dynasty.
Until Rome took over.
And this is very interesting. Israel at the forefront had allied with Rome. Since history repeats itself and typology plays a big role in all this, will Israel do it again? Perhaps this time with a spiritual covenant, joining faiths with the Vatican's Whore of Babylon?
Revelation infers just that.
Yes, we know they will join the One World Church. And we are hearing of the Sanhedrin actually already agreeing to do just that.
Who will be the biggest compromiser?
Well, I think pretty sure it will be the Vatican based on what we are seeing with this pope.
You have some interesting data about the number seven.
Yes. About 70 years after Rome ruled, Jesus was born, and about 70 years after that, the temple was destroyed. Needless to say, 7 and 70 are important numbers and mean completion.
Bottom line here is that Israel's generational fig tree is about over.
If Bible prophecy is to be accurate, and it is, yes, so again, now Israel is 72. Let's get back to that. The Jewish nation has never been able to maintain a united rule for more than 80 years.
So that indeed is some heavy information.
Sure sends shivers up my spine.
So people will say, well, we've always had earthquakes and pestilence, etc.
Yes, but Israel is the key. They had to be a legal nation, and then all the other signs coming within a short duration of time. But honestly, the extra signs are not even needed when the fig tree reaches the end of its generation. With that said, and then add all the other signs as well, it sure does make one sit up and take notice, or at least in my mind it should.
Well, the earthquakes do keep getting stronger and more often in diverse places.
That's right. Additional signs, of course, are the many volcanoes, fires, flooding, hail, and the many viruses this generation alone has had, like AIDS, Ebola, H1N1, swine flu, etc. And even the bird flu is resurging, along with many others, to include this coronavirus, which is crippling the whole world this time, not just certain areas of the world. But I do want to mention one more thing about the number seven. And this happened today, actually. And that is we reached, in population, this particular number, 7,777,777,777 people in the world.
Yeah, you can watch it yourself on worldometers.info.
It moves these really fast, by the way, but it did read 10 sevens, and it happened around noon today.
During this feast of unleavened bread.
for sure. And then you know what? It'll never happen again. And such an important number in the Word, especially in Revelation, as in 7 years of tribulation, and seven churches are addressed, then seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. Again, it's the number for completion, and we are at the end of 6,000 years, about to enter the seventh millennial, called the seventh day, or in that day.
You have some other data concerning sevens, too.
Oh, there are so many. But just a few more quick examples is, of course, the obvious seventh day is the Sabbath day of rest. And every 7 years, the land had a Sabbath year. Seven trumpets sounded around Jericho, and 7 years to build Solomon's temple, where his throne sat on the seventh step.
And a great one is Naaman washing in the river seven times for his healing.
And Jesus performed his first miracle on the seventh day of his ministry at Cana.
And in Joseph's day, there were 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine.
And Jesus, after hanging on the cross in pain for 6 hours, in the seventh hour, he was pain-free. And Joash in 2 Kings was made king in the seventh year, after being hid for 6 years from the evil Athaliah. But the most telling, as we just said, is 1,000 years of history, with the last 1,000 being the millennial kingdom, with the first 7 being our honeymoon in heaven. Come on, folks, we can learn from this.
And we are. Thank you, Jesus.
Also this year, which seldom happens, the spring feast matched perfectly to when Jesus fulfilled them. Dates and everything.
Days matched perfectly as well.
Yes. No doubt this year could be even more historic than it's already been. It appears to many that we will soon be able to slowly get back to fixing our economy. But many are also saying it's already too late to ever be able to get back to what we had. It'll just never be the same. We all know how pure evil is gaining strength. Dr. Fauci, as we talked about last week, is a purebred New World Order globalist and communist China World Health Organization puppet. He should be fired, but the powers that be will not allow it. Many also believe these testings are a way to get our DNA. And in fact, I heard with my own ears just yesterday Dr. Burke's slip about collecting RNA, but first used the letter D instead of R, but quickly corrected herself. She said DRNA. It was kind of funny to watch, but I had actually just last week prayed and asked our Lord to confirm to me if they were collecting DNA. And then I heard her Freudian slip. It was quite a moment for me, since I had just turned on the TV at just the right time. It's amazing how the Lord works. But no doubt, as with all the other man-made events, our rights are slowly being diminished. There's just no doubt about that. Now they are about to do what they call contact tracers. Have you heard that? It's some kind of Bluetooth thing using our phones. Of course, that's to let us know when a COVID person comes near you. Really? This is absurd to me, but I think it's true. Many real Christians will not take the vaccines. I've been talking to some, and pretty much many agree that there's just too many things included in these vaccines, even the cells from an aborted baby. So, you know, I digress. Anyway, how could we trust Big Pharma at this stage of the game anyhow, when depopulation is the globalist goal, as openly admitted to by globalist Bill Gates. Of course, we as Christians, we pray the rapture comes first, but I pity those left behind. But it all goes back to who we are as the bride of Christ. Because of our Lord's resurrection, death to us is merely a promotion. Death to us has lost its power and its sting because Jesus lives in you and me. And that's the glory of God available to all who choose to believe. He alone gives us our hope for a grand future coming soon. And I'm excited about that. Unfortunately, this earthly life that we, because we are human, we seem to hold so dear. But it is a vapor, quickly gone. The new world, Jesus' new world, is coming soon. And then soon, 100 years will be nothing in his kingdom. Life without end. Today we are glad that he arose and therefore can look back at his resurrection to more clearly see ahead. The world has changed since Jesus lived. We have seen countless martyrs die for the cause of Christ, not just in the first century AD, but also in the 20th and 21st centuries. In fact, more people have died in the last 100 years for Christ than in the 1900 years before. That says a lot, because people don't die for a lie or for a hoax or some kind of scheme, but rather for what they believe wholeheartedly. Praise God, we know the rest of the story as John the Revelator ends the greatest story ever told with the words from Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Praise God and hallelujah. Let me ask you, what about you? Did you just happen to turn this on because you're home a lot and wanted to do something different? Well, let me ask you, do you know Jesus intimately? Don't wait any longer. I mean, this is coming to an end and you don't want to miss eternity. If you are saved, get a burden for those who will be left behind. This is how we store our treasures in heaven, by the way. And he wants to give us our rewards. Just like a father likes to reward his children. There's pleasure in that. Don't take his pleasure away from him by not storing your treasures. Let me leave you with the Aaronic blessing, and this is from number 6:22 through 27, and I'm going to try it in Hebrew, and I haven't done this in a while, so let's try. Yivarekcha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav eleka v'yunecha, Yasei Adonai panav eleka v'yasem ha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Psalm 122, verse 6. Don't forget to pray for our president and all our leaders, that the right choices are made to fulfill his will. See you next time. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513. Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.